सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Verse number 12. Ye chaiva sattvika bhavah rajasas tamasas chaye matta eveti tan viddhi नत्वहं तेषु ते मयि त्रिभिर्गुणमयैर्भावैः एभिः सर्वमिदं जगत् मोहितं नाभिजानाति मामेभ्यः परमव्ययम्। माम एभ्यः परम अव्ययम् न विजानाति। लॉर्ड कृष्णा सेज दैट जगत मीनिंग द पीपल द ह्यूमन बीइंग्स न विजानाति दे डू नॉट नो मी। एभ्यः परम वन हु इज परम मीन्स डिफरेंट डिस्टिंक्ट सुपीरियर टू द कॉस्ट्यूम। जस्ट एज एक्टर कैन से दैट आई एम परम I'm superior to the beggar because I'm the wealthy person. And also I'm untouched by the beggar. Even though the beggar is suffering, I am free from all the suffering, as actor can say. So also Lord says that I'm the self of all and still I'm untouched by the limitations of this body-mind complex, which is like a costume. And the limitations of costume do not in any way affect me. I remain limitless, I remain ever transcending it all. In spite of all the changes taking place in the body-mind complex, I am changeless. In spite of the fact that the body-mind complex is subject to birth and death, I am free from birth and death. In spite of the fact that this body-mind complex is limited, I am free from all limitations. In spite of the fact that this complex is dependent for its existence upon the universe, I am totally independent. That is our nature. And that nature of our own self, because Lord Krishna is nothing but our own self. Understand that the one who has created the whole universe, who is manifest as the whole universe, who is ever one without a second, is not away from us. He is our very self. He is so close, I guess that may be the reason why we do not know him. People look for God everywhere except in their own self. The reason why we do not look at ourselves is because we are very convinced that I am not God. I am very much convinced, I am sure that I am a small, limited, helpless, hapless creature. That perception of myself, that conclusion of myself is so deeply rooted that I never ever question it. So taking for granted that I am a limited, helpless being, then I proceed to do whatever I do. Meaning that whatever I do in my life and what I do not do is all based on this perception of myself. And that is a false perception. That's called moha or delusion. And that is what Vedanta in fact addresses. Vedanta, just a science, does not take anything for granted. So also Vedanta does not take anything for granted. Science really takes for granted that I am a limited being. Vedanta does not take that for granted. And tells us that, look, your thinking or your feeling that you are limited is only a false notion, is a false perception, not a reality about you. But then, shall we ever come to know? Because we are born ignorant, and ignorance causes all these misapprehensions or misconceptions or wrong perception about myself, and therefore all the world, or Ishvara, that because of this ignorance I am suffering today from entertaining wrong notions about myself, wrong notions about the world, wrong notions about God. And this ignorance, and this, you say the ignorance is beginning, yes, has no cause to be there, so it cannot go also. Does it mean that I am doomed to be a samsari like this forever? Lord Krishna says yes and no. So that answer is given in the next verse, the 14th verse. Devi Hesha Gunamaye Mama Maya Duratyaya Mame Vaye Prapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite. Now Lord Krishna is the word Maya. Earlier it said Na Vijanati Ajnanam. So earlier was said ignorance, and this verse Lord Krishna used the word Maya. Maya means projecting power. Maya literally means magic. So in Sanskrit, a magician is called Mayavi, and the magic is called Maya. Just as a magician spreads his net of magic upon the spectators are under the spell of that magic. And whatever appearances the magician creates, the spectators take them to be real because they are under the spell of magic. Whereas the magician himself knows he is not under the control of his magic, he is a master of magic. Same magic is wielded by one, the magician, and it rules the other one, namely spectators. See how one thing can make so much difference depending upon knowledge and ignorance. So also there is so-called Maya. Call it the magic of projecting power, the deluding power. Just as a magician manages to delude spectators, and spectators are, they believe that what he's showing is real. He takes a piece of newspaper and shows $100 bill there, which appears very real to us. It cannot be real because if the magician could really create $100 bill out of newspaper, he need not make these performances, you know. Because at the end of magic show, he takes his hat and then, you know, he's asking for some donation. He need not have to do that if he really could create or convert a newspaper in $100 bills. So it's very clear that it is just a show, it's an appearance. So this Maya or magic is a model. Very often, because of use of this Maya, the Vedantins are accused as Mayavadins. People who always talk of Maya. But then this Maya is just a model, nothing more than that. Just as rope snake is a model, and so also magic is a model. For an example, to explain something, there is no one example that can explain everything. Every example explains some aspect of our life. And so also the example of Maya or magic is meant to explain this life, our life, as to how we fail to appreciate what is evident. If Ishvara or God was away from us, and then we say that I do not see Him, that is understandable. I do not know Him, understandable. I want to achieve Him, I am seeking Him, I want to achieve Him. It would be all right if Ishvara was different from me, away from me. But here, he is my very self. And every moment I am experiencing him. Don't think that experience of Ishvara is lacking in our life. Because whatever we are experiencing is Ishvara. If there was something other than Ishvara, then we could experience something else, but then whatever we are experiencing is Ishvara, and one who is experiencing also is Ishvara. So Mandukya Karika very nicely explains how this Atmadeva, the word is this Atmadeva, means the God or Devata in the form of the Self, kalpayati atmana atmanam atmadeva swamaya saiva buddhyate vedan iti vedanta nischayah. Kalpayati atmana atmanam. By himself he projects himself. By himself he projects himself. Who? Atmadeva. This deva or this deity or the self-effulgent lord in the form of the self projects himself, by himself, with his maya. Saiva buddhyate vedan, having projected this universe, he himself experiences it. So what is experienced is a projection or manifestation of Ishvara, and the one who experiences, also the experiencer, also is a manifestation of Ishvara. Meaning that, see, this is how the drama is going on. Ishvara, God, first projected himself as this universe, and he himself is watching it. So one who is witnessing, one is experiencing, also is him, and what is experienced also is him. Meaning there is nothing other than him, or nothing other than Ishvara in our life, understand? What is the Ishvara? What is, and however it is, wherever it is, however it is, what is Ishvara? There is nothing other than Ishvara. This is what Vedanta teaches. That is what is meant by Advaita or non-duality. That both the object of experience and experiencer, both of them spring from the same Ishvara. That's why the 7th chapter describes these two factors as the two Shaktis or powers of Ishvara. This what is experienced is called the inferior power, aparama, apara shakti, or apara prakriti. The experiencer was called the para prakriti. Both of these are the expressions or manifestations of the one who is beyond both the experiencer and experienced. So this is a simple truth. What is Ishvara? What is God? What is his self? What is this one, non-dual, limitless, whole, complete, purnameva, avashishyate? What is purnam or complete? This is what Vedanta teaches. And still, mama maya, my maya, my projecting power, duratya is extremely difficult to cross. So on one hand we can say that the samsara will never come to an end, really. Urdhumulam adashakam ashvattham prahuhu avyayam. 15th chapter, Lord Krishna says that the tree of samsara is inexhaustible. Meaning that if we continue to entertain these notions and continue to give them reality and continue to try to become free from this notional bondage, we will never become free. In the realm of maya, if you continue to try to cross maya, duratya, it is impossible to cross. Mameva ye prapadyante. However, those who take refuge unto me, Lord Krishna says, who is beyond both, or the self of both, the experienced and experiencer. In the Vedantic language, who is the self? Who is the substratum? Upon which all these appearances created. Thus in our life now, we have these two factors. One is appearance, other is reality. The manliness is appearance. The duality is an appearance. The sense of limitation is an appearance. That I'm a seeker, I'm a needy person is an appearance about myself. That the world is separate from me is an appearance. This is appearance created by Maya. So those who take refuge into Maya, meaning those who give reality to this appearance. On one hand, we give reality to this duality and then try to create non-duality. See, what we are trying to do in our life is to create non-duality. Because inherently, we love the non-dual. We have the natural love for non-dual. We don't have love for division. I'm not comfortable if I find that you are separate from me, or you do not like me, or you do not accept me. I'm not comfortable with that. Only when there is a harmony between you and I that I am comfortable, because that harmony creates a sense of oneness. Even though the person that you are and person that I am, even though we are different, and still we are always seeking to remove this difference and somehow establish a bond or establish a oneness between the two of us. That's the purpose of relationship. So understand that inherently we love oneness. We love non-duality. We are always resisting the duality or division or separatedness. We are resisting that. We are making our own effort to remove that separatedness and create oneness between myself and what I am experiencing in my own way. When I think that you are really different from me, then I have to hug you and do something like that to create oneness. When I think that the objects are different, then I must really acquire them and I must experience them and consume them to make them feel that I am one. So right now what we are doing is we are trying to create non-duality, understand? Trying to create happiness, trying to create freedom. My life is an attempt to create freedom. What is freedom? The freedom to do what I want to do. Mind your own business. Yesterday somebody asked, Swami, this mind your own business, what is this? They asked me to mind my own business. They asked me to become selfish. I said, no, when they say mind your own business, mean don't intrude into their space, that's all. Leave them alone. Don't intrude into their space. So, in my attempt to create non-duality, in fact, I'm creating isolation. On one hand, I want oneness. On the other hand, I keep on emphasizing or giving importance to my sense of individuality. I'm promoting my individuality. I'm promoting my ego in all my activities. I want to look wonderful, I want to look great, I want to appear great, and I want to appear acceptable, I want to appear whatever, successful. So what an ironical thing, that oneness cannot be established as long as sense of individuality is retained. But I am trying to promote my individuality and strengthen the individuality in effort to create oneness. I mean, this is what we are doing is quite contrary to what we are seeking. Let us understand this, that what we want is not duality. A flower also, when I enjoy the flower that time, the duality or the separatedness between flower and myself disappears momentarily. That's when I enjoy it. The greatest enjoyment is when the enjoyer also drops. Sometimes we get lost in that experience. Swami, what a recital! The flute recital, how wonderful! You get lost. You enjoy getting lost because that time that sense of individuality, which was an obstacle to the oneness, has dropped, and therefore I experience oneness. When we are in a moment of ecstasy, when we forget ourselves, that is the experience of non-duality. So non-duality is experienced by us now and then. When these factors creating false duality, when those factors drop off, which I am dearly holding on to, while holding on to my sense of individuality, I hold on to my likes and dislikes, I hold on to duality very dearly. It is by grace of God that drops off. There are moments when that drops off. It happens every night in deep sleep when the duality drops off. That's when you experience freedom. Or in the waking moment also, whenever the duality drops off, that's when you experience happiness, freedom. So when there is happiness, what is there? In that moment of ecstasy, what is there? That time the duality or division is not there, that time there is non-duality, there is oneness. And the extent or intensity of happiness depends upon the extent to which the duality drops off. We don't always enjoy that ecstasy. Our degree of happiness varies depending upon the extent to which the duality has dropped off. When it completely drops off, I'm completely happy. That's a reality. But the Maya creates in me a notion that freedom can be attained by bloating my individuality. See, that's what Maya does. Maya thinks that the freedom is in strengthening my individuality, in distinguishing myself from others. All the time, poor human being is busy distinguishing himself from the rest of the world. That's why I have this hairstyle different from any of you, you know. Distinguish myself from you. I wear this clothes, distinguish myself from you. I sit here, distinguish myself from you. If you watch in the streets of New York City from 14th story, some building, you know, from the balcony, you can see all kinds of hairstyles. You can see part of it shaven, somebody is not shaven, this part is yellow, this part is red, you know. Just an attempt to be different. Attempt to distinguish. I guess I enjoy the attention that I get because of that, whatever it is. But what a process we have adopted. What I want is freedom. And the way I am trying to get freedom is by binding myself. Because more I distinguish myself, more isolated I become. And more isolated I become, more bound I feel. This is what Maya does. It creates an appearance of something which is not there. It creates an appearance that there is happiness out in the world. And therefore, I'm always chasing the happiness in objects and achievements of the world. Maya creates that appearance. Where the real happiness is, meaning my own heart, there the Maya creates appearance that I am miserable. That's what Maya first does. And where happiness is not there, it creates appearance that there is all happiness and peace out there. Like a child who is blindfolded and turn around and then asked to run. There's a pot in which all the candies are there. This child has got a stick in his hand and all he needs to do is to go and break that pot and get all the candies. But unfortunately, they blindfold the child. Not only blindfold, but they turn him around, you know, a few rounds, and then he just loses the sense of direction. It's okay, now go and break that pot. The child came here the previous evening. He's counted number of steps. So how many steps he had to take to reach the pot? So he counts that many steps, 52 steps he counts, except in some other direction, and he's doing it in the air. And so also we are born blindfolded. And we have lost the sense of direction. We want success, all right. We want freedom, all right. But we seem to be walking in a direction quite different from where the real freedom is. And like this Don Quixote, whatever, you know, making shots in the air, That's called Maya. So thus you have to accept that there is some factor called Maya. There is some kind of magic is there. There is some delusion is there in life. Like the animals chasing the mirage water, which appears to be real, but really it is not there. And they run towards that water. More they run, the water seems to be getting farther and farther away. In our life also, the success or happiness seems to be getting farther and farther away. More I chase it. Swami, how do you say that? I'm very happy. Who says I'm not? I'm successful. I'm very happy. Good, God bless you. If that's what you feel. If you think that you're happy because you have something, you can very well be happy. If you're grown, if there is emotional maturity, if there is inner purity, you can definitely be happy. But you're happy because of what you are and not because of what you have. If my happiness comes from what I have, then it's a definite a delusory happiness. If happiness is because of what I am, then it's fine. I'm a good soul. I'm a pure, my mind is pure. My mind is good. Then there is definite happiness. But the Maya creates in me the delusion that happiness is out there, success is out there, and I would acquire happiness, I would create happiness, and therefore I am all the time in the process of creating happiness. Happiness is not to be created, it is to be brought to manifestation. Happiness is already there as my own self, and what I need to do is to bring it to manifestation. But I have concluded that unhappiness is my nature, I have to become happy. So this is Maya. That's how this poor soul, from one birth to the other, mrityosya mrityam apnoti, yaha naneva pasyati. Just as the tenth man is all the time searching for the tenth man, there is this distance between the seeker and the sought. That is created of Maya. What I am seeking in my life is different from me. I have to reach it. I have to acquire it. I have to create it. That happiness, the freedom, I have to reach. I have to acquire. I have to create. This is the false notion planted in my mind, like blindfolding a child and making him lose a sense of direction. Oh, Maya, Duratya, in this manner, to get success in life is almost impossible. So thus, if you don't learn, then I guess we cannot cross this ocean of samsara. In the next line, Lord Krishna says, Māme vaye prapadyante māyā metāṁ tarantite. However, ye māṁ eva prapadyante, those who take refuge unto me alone. So now we have choices in our life. Take refuge into māyā, or take refuge into Maya way or into of Ishvara or the Self. And this choice presents itself before us every moment. When the free will has to be really brought into operation, it's not in choosing oranges and apples or drinking milk and coffee and stuff like that. That's not the choice. That's all preferences. Wearing this cloth or wearing this sari or that, that's not the free, you know, that's not what we mean by the choices. The real choice in our life at every moment is we can choose between Maya and Ishvara. What does Maya do? Maya, as I say, creates in me a sense of smallness. Where there is limitlessness, there is a sense of limitedness or smallness. Where there is wholeness, there is a sense of limitedness. Where there is ananda or happiness, there is a sense of unhappiness. So giving reality to my conclusion that I am a needy being, I am an unhappy soul, I am a small, insignificant soul. Giving reality to that is nothing but giving reality to Maya. And then I am bound to be self-centered person. I am bound to be selfish person because I am insecure. the sense of smallness creates in me a sense of insecurity, fear. And most of my interactions are based on fear and insecurity. In every transaction I am ready to protect myself from everybody, even from my near and dear ones also. Within myself, I'm always out to protect myself. Swami, what if he takes advantage of me? What if they exploit me? What if this will happen? Well, the insecurity creates this problem. What if somebody takes advantage of me? What if they will exploit me? And therefore, I always protect myself from being exploited, from being taken advantage of. I always want reward for whatever I do. Because a needy being always demands a reward. When I perform an action, I must get a reward. I must get some gratification, sense gratification, ego gratification, all the time looking for gratification from whatever I do. Thus all my actions are performed based on desire for gratification. So whenever I give reality to my sense of smallness or limitedness, then I become a needy person, I become a seeker, always seeking something. Thus in every interaction, I'm always seeking some advantage, some benefit internally. Are they seeking some attention from you, seeking some appreciation from you, seeking some donation from you, something or the other? Some calculation is always there. Observe your mind. It will be a very revealing thing as to how our mind functions, how every moment there is always some fear, some insecurity, or some calculation of what benefit I can get from this small little transaction. Always for myself, seeking benefit for myself. A self-centered attitude, a selfish attitude, put it this way. This is how I live my life when I take refuge into Maya, meaning I give reality to these notions about myself. Lord Krishna says, Mame vaya prapadyante. Those who give up this Maya and take refuge unto me. What is meant by taking refuge unto him? Refuge unto what is reality about me? In fact, limitless is my nature, not limitedness. I'm not a beggar, I don't have to be a beggar, I'm not a needy being. There are needs for the body, all right. There may be needs for this personality, but I don't have any needs. I'm not a failure. I brand myself a failure, then want to be successful. I brand myself unhappy, wants to be happy. I brand myself bound, then I want to be free. Not giving reality to these notions. And giving reality to what Vedanta teaches, that you are the whole. That you are what you are trying to be. You don't have to become whole, you have to discover the fact that you are whole. You don't have to become free, you have to discover the fact that you are free. That freedom or wholeness or happiness or success is your nature. Not something else can make you happy or free. No, Swamiji, you know, when I'm watching this movie, I feel very happy. When I got the promotion, I became very happy. So it looks like things in this world make me happy. It looks like it. But that's not really so. It's an appearance. Those things which I look upon as source of happiness are only giving my own happiness back to me. That's all they're doing. Like these fellows went to a restaurant. And one of them offered, today, everybody's treated by me. Enjoy the food. So this fellow is enjoying the food. All of them are enjoying. One of them is me. And when it's free, then the food tastes better when it's free. And you need not restrict your... You can order whatever you want, as much as you want. I was so happy. I came out. And then I needed a bottle of water. So I reached out for my purse. The purse was missing. And that other friend who had offered us all the food, he produced my purse. And he had paid from my purse, actually. He paid $1,200 a bill from my purse. When I count the bills, it's, you know, I thought that I was actually, he was treating me. I was treating myself. But what appears is, he is treating me. And so also, these objects of the world and the so-called successes, they think that they are treating me, they are making me happy. It's my own happiness they are giving me back by taking the credit for it. Because there is only one source of happiness, and that's the self. So happiness can only be in the consciousness. It cannot be in unconscious things. Therefore, not giving reality to my notions, but giving what should be the basis of my life? What Vedanta teaches, the Vedantic teaching, that I am the whole. I don't have to become whole, I am the whole. Fake it till make it. What do you mean by faking? See, if you are whole, if you are complete, if you are free, how would you behave? You'll be very generous. Because you're whole, therefore nothing, you know, like ocean. Ocean has no problem in giving a few buckets of water to you because it knows that its limitlessness cannot be reduced. That's called wholeness, which is not subject to any decay or reduction. And therefore, I'll be very generous. If I'm whole, if I'm a complete being, then there's no need to be selfish at all, because whatever I want, I already am. But I don't feel so much. Doesn't matter, just fake it. Then the actions will not be based on the self-centered, they will be other-centered. That's the what we call nishkama karma. Selfless actions come into play. Actions which are performed purely in the spirit of offering. Not a spirit of grabbing. All the time today I'm trying to grab. Whatever little thing I do, I want to grab something. From a grabber, I become an offerer. Or in Swamiji's words, from a consumer, I become a contributor. Right now, every act of mine is an act of grabbing or consuming. But if I function on the basis of my wholeness, then my action will become an action of offering, contributing. Complete turnaround in life. And this choice we have at every moment. Understand, every moment I am performing an action. Whenever I deliberately do anything, I am performing what is called an action. Whenever I do something deliberately. When I am talking to you, I am deliberately doing it. When I am thinking also, when I am deliberately thinking. Or deliberately doing something at the level of the body. Physical, oral, mental, these actions we perform constantly. And in all these actions, whether I'm a grabber or a giver, that choice I have. I may or may not have a choice in what action to perform, because maybe the circumstances may decide what action I have to perform. I may not have a choice. Sometimes I have a choice, often I may not have a choice. But for Vedanta, that's not very important. Swami, you say there is choice. Where is choice? I have no choice. I'm a homemaker. What choice do I have? To wake up in the morning before everybody else wakes up, make tea for them, make this, and prepare breakfast, and tiffin. Where is the choice? But choice is whether I prepare breakfast as a grabber or as a giver, that's all. In that act of cooking or preparing breakfast, what am I seeking? Because my mind is always calculating something. There's always prayojanam, some purpose is always there. And we really have to observe our mind to understand or to make out its very subtle functionings. But Swamiji, I always do for everybody. Do you ever get hurt? Yes, Swamiji. No, I do so much, but he doesn't even look at it. He doesn't even bother about it. So much trouble I took preparing breakfast, he just finished it and went away without even saying thank you. What is? That means I expected a thank you, because otherwise I cannot get hurt. When we get hurt, that means there was some expectation. In fact, what is rejected is my expectation, but I feel rejected because of my identification, my expectation. The fact that we feel disappointed, we feel hurt, we feel failure, we feel unsuccessful, all of this is because there was some expectation. Sometimes the expectation is articulated by my mind, sometimes it is not very clear to me, but it becomes clear when the outcome comes. Even when I feel happy as an outcome, then also my expectation was that. That happiness is nothing but the expression of fulfillment of expectation, that also was there. Happiness and unhappiness coming from outside shows that there was some expectation. So Lord Krishna says, Siddhya Siddhyo Samabhutva Samatvam Yoga Uchyate. So when I confront a situation which I call success, who do I give credit to? When I give credit to myself, I feel elated. I'm successful, I'm happy. That happiness is not because of an event. Happiness is because I take the credit for the success, you know. I congratulate myself. That's what makes me happy. And when I'm not successful, I blame myself. That's what makes me unhappy. It is not the event that makes me happy or unhappy, but then my reaction to the event, whether I congratulate myself or whether I condemn myself. That is called taking refuge into Maya. Whereas, on the other hand, when I function not as a grabber but as a giver, then the outcome does not matter. Lord Krishna says, let the outcome not matter to you. Karmanyavadikaraste mahaphaleshu kadachana. Let the fall of the outcome be of no importance to you. Accept it as it comes gracefully. Karmanyavadikaraste, look upon action as an opportunity to contribute. This we can give constantly. It's not that giving is always only in terms of money and stuff like that. That's all, that tangible giving is okay, is an expression of my inner spirit of giving. But every moment, in every transaction. As I mentioned earlier, I was so impressed about Pujya Swami's statement. He says, whenever anybody comes to me, the first thought that occurs to me is, what can I do for this person? That's most amazing. The first thought that occurs to me is, what can I grab from this person? When everybody comes to me, what can I get from this fellow? What advantage can I get? There's a thought that occurs to me, where Swamiji says, the thought occurs to him is, what can I do for this person? One functioning from a standpoint of smallness, other one functioning from the standpoint of wholeness. So understand that every moment you're making choices. It's not a choice between tea and coffee. It is choice between being a grabber or a giver. A grabber, meaning I have taken refuge into Maya. A giver, means that I have taken refuge into Ishvara. Ishvara is myself. He is the whole. And if I make that as a basis of my life, then that is called taking refuge into Ishvara. Mameva prapanyante. Mam eva, there is an eva kara there, only me. Those who take refuge into me. These choices are there, for example, in a given situation, whether to tell a lie or tell the truth. Choice, is it not? Whether, when somebody asks me, or when I'm saying something, whether to tell a lie or tell the truth, a choice. Tell the lie is choice in Maya, is taking refuge into Maya. Telling truth, taking refuge into Ishvara. How do you say that? Because this is Ishvara's nature. Ishvara is truth in nature. Ishvara is non-violent nature. So all the values that are taught to us are nothing based on the nature of Ishvara, which is nature of our own self. Therefore, when I assert my value and overcome the impulse of compromising the value because of some temptation, because following a value requires my assertion. It doesn't happen right automatically. Automatically my temptations will work and always make me compromise the values. I have to assert in order to follow the value. This is the choice. To be honest or dishonest. Tell the truth or not tell the truth. Or tell white lie, you know, so the person doesn't understand that I'm telling a lie. What? But in our transactions, interactions, all these things are involved. Maya or Ishvara. Their choice is there constantly. Kathopanishad calls it Shreyas and Prayas. Shreyas, taking refuge into Ishvara. Prayas, taking refuge into Maya, which creates an appearance of happiness out there. Mam eva prapadyante maya metam. We just told the Vedantic explanation of what is meant by taking refuge into Lord, who is the very self. And taking refuge into Him meaning acting in keeping with His nature, or nature of myself, meaning acting in keeping with the values of life. And having the attitude of giving rather than grabbing. Slowly, that does not happen right away because of my insecurity. What comes in the way is always my insecurity. You'll find that. What makes me tell a lie is my insecurity. What makes me hurt others is my insecurity. What makes me always grab is my insecurity. Insecurity arising from a sense of smallness. So not giving reality to that. Even though my mind may tell me to grab, I assert my spirit of giving rather than grabbing. Otherwise, mam eva prapadyante, those who take refuge into Ishvara, not into Maya, as the devotees of Ishvara. He's also a devotee. He's also a devotee who functions on the basis of wholeness of the self. Maya, Lord Krishna says that they will definitely cross this Maya. This outlet is given to us. This window is given to us, put it this way. This whole realm of Maya, this window is there from which we can cross Maya. That's the window of the spirit of Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is performing karma or action as an offering to the Lord. In this case, Lord is the Self. Lord in form of order. Lord in form of values. Or, if you think that Lord is in a certain form, okay, offering all actions to that Lord. Whatever idea of Ishvara you have, whatever idea of God you have, but performing my actions to Him as an offering to Him. That's called the refuge or surrender. Surrendering to Ishvara. Thus, when I accept success and failure as prasada, as gift of God, I'm surrendering my likes and dislikes. When I perform my action based on the values, I'm surrendering my likes and dislikes. When I entertain a spirit of giving, I surrender my likes and dislikes. So surrendering my likes and dislikes, surrendering my ego, that's all surrendering Maya, surrendering ignorance. Maya metam tarantite, they definitely cross this Maya. Of course the surrender, ultimate surrender is in terms of knowledge. The first level of surrender is in terms of bhakti or devotion. And second level of surrender is in terms of knowledge. What is devotion? Performing action as an offering to Ishvara. What is knowledge? Knowing that Ishvara as my own self. In the beginning, Ishvara is automatically taken as separate from me. That's where the offering comes. Swami, you say that Ishvara is your own self. Then who is offering to whom? That's our idea. Right now, that is not the reality about me, and therefore, I accept the reality as it is. And then make the offering. And second level of offering or surrender is knowing Ishvara as my own self. That means offering the offerer also. Yena tyajasi tyatyaja. Offer the offerer in the wake of knowledge that the nature of offerer also is nothing other than Ishvara. Lord, if this is so, if those who take refuge into you, those who surrender to you, if they can cross this Maya, they can get liberated. Meaning they can become successful. So So here Bhagavad Gita teaches us the way of becoming successful, attaining the real success in our life. Why doesn't everybody do it? Kasmat tvameva sarve na prapadyante iti. Oh Lord, how come everybody does not take refuge unto you? Then Lord Krishna answers that question in the 15th verse. Namam duskrutino mudhaha prapadyante naradhamaha mayaya pahrta jnanaha asuram bhavam ashritaha. Namam prapadyante. Lord Krishna says that these fellows do not take refuge unto me. They do not surrender unto me. They do not take refuge unto me. Meaning that they do not live the life according to the harmony or the order that I am. They do not live the life in keeping their own nature of their own self. They live a life where there is a constant denial of oneself, disowning of oneself, not only that, but condemning or hurting oneself. There are these people. Who are they? Maya apahruta jnanaha. Those people whose good sense have been robbed away by Maya. Whose sense of discrimination has been robbed away by Maya. Meaning that those who give reality to appearance, those, as I said, the appearance is that the world appears to be giving me a source of happiness, giving reality to that. It appears as though I am a small limited being giving reality to that. That's what Maya does. And therefore, giving reality to their sense of smallness, looking upon them as needy, looking upon the world as that will fulfill my needs, then there is going to be a compromise of values. A needy person will do anything to fulfill the need. If my need can be fulfilled by fair means, I'll do that first. But if I cannot do by fair means, I'll adopt the foul means also. This is how dishonesty and corruption comes. Not recognizing that my need is boundless, in fact, it's a bottomless pit. And more I try to fulfill my need, more needy I become, not realizing this. A time comes when my need overtakes my values, meaning that I can no more fulfill my need based on the values. The need always proves to be stronger than values, therefore what gets compromised are values, and need always remains. As Bhartrhari says, Trishna na jirna, vayam eva jirna. Bhogana bhuktaha, vayam eva bhuktaha. In the old age, the saint says, it's not we who enjoyed the objects of pleasure, the objects enjoyed us. Tapona taptam, vayam eva taptaha. I did not perform tapas or penance, I was vayam eva taptaha. Meaning that we always suffered in the process. Kalo nayato vayam eva yataha. The time has not gone. We are exhausted in the course of time. Trishna na jirna vayam eva jirnaha. Our craving has not become exhausted or old. We have become old and dilapidated. Our craving remains as young and strong as before. So one thing really that does not obey the law of time. The usual law is that everything decays in time. Everything perishes in time. One thing does not perish. And what is that? That's a craving. It seems to be increasing as the time passes. More you try to satisfy it, more demanding it becomes. That being the case, a time comes when, to fulfill my cravings, I have to compromise my values. Because I cannot fulfill my desires by remaining honest and remaining truthful. I cannot fulfill desire, therefore, I have to resort to dishonesty, resort to untruthfulness. So first of all, this Maya makes me a deluded person, and therefore I have wrong priorities in life and wrong values in life. I look upon wealth as more valuable than myself, therefore for the sake of wealth I sacrifice myself. See, whenever I become dishonest, it is nothing but sacrificing myself for the sake of some gain. See, Maya creates moha, and that creates duskarma, meaning that there is slowly but surely a compromise of values. And a desire, a craving, a person is craving, is always needy and always very insecure, but he doesn't know whether his craving will be satisfied or not, therefore always feels very uncertain and very stressful. And it is insecurity and stress that makes me compromise my values. That's called duskarma. Duskarma means performing an action which is when there is violation of values, in violation of values. Duskrutina. And slowly the duskarma, compromising values, it becomes more and more intense. Narajamaha. A personality becomes the most mean among all the human beings. So a person can allow himself to be overcome by his lust and anger and greed. Either I have value of overcoming this impulse of lust, anger or greed, kama, krodha, love, or I submit to them. But I submit to the evil or devil forces, then they will always rule over me. Narajamaha, asuram, bhavamashritaha. Ultimately, they attain the state of being asura or demons with all the demoniac tendencies. Lord Krishna says, these people, namam prapadyante, they always take refuge of Maya, they never take refuge into me. They're extroverted people, deluded about themselves as well as about the world, and therefore having a wrong perception of life, wrong priorities in life, wrong values in life. They go down the drain in the ladder of evolution, they go down. From human beings, they turn into demons. From there, they turn into stones also. This is also a ladder of fall. Lord Krishna says that, meaning that, when in our heart there is this impurity, there are likes and dislikes, there is arrogance. Dambho darpo vimanascha krodha parushyamevacha ajnanam chabhijatascha pada sampadamasurim. Describing the asuri sampad or the demoniac tendencies, Lord Krishna is dambha, pretentiousness. Pretending to be different from what I am. Because I am too afraid of presenting myself as I am, therefore dambha, darpaha, arrogance, abhimanaha, pride, krodha, anger, parushyam, harshness, ignorance. These are all the demoniac tendencies. And these keep on becoming stronger and stronger in these people. When this kind of mind is there, it never occurs to me that there can be Ishvara. Or that I should take refuge. So, this person always takes refuge into the material things, never takes refuge into Ishvara. So, just Lord Krishna described these people for us to feel good, that's all, Inasmuch as we are listening to Bhagavad Gita, and then, we have all this trust in the scriptural teaching, that shows that we have taken refuge of Ishvara. Anyway, don't worry. We have not taken refuge into Maya. But who are the people whom it never occurs to take refuge into Ishvara? Are these people? We'll continue our discussion next time. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badarayanam Sutra Bhashya Krutau Vande Bhagavantau Punah Punah Ishvaro Guru Ratmedi Murti Veda Vibhagine Vyoma Vadvyapta Behaya Dakshina
Dakshinamurtaye Namaha. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.